Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 212, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021, which is, of course, mild.
National Espresso Day.
Yeah.
National Eat a Cranberry Day.
Just one.
No, I think they mean the band, like one of the band members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's like kind of
in recognition of cannibalism. And
You know, whatever you're into. But I've noticed a lot of these days, like, you can scroll down and you realize there's, like, they just submit to this calendar and you can get it. So I feel at some point maybe we will submit our own day. Maybe. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Daily Zeitgeist Day. International Daily Zeitgeist Day. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Getting Chuggy with it. Mo. Mo. That is courtesy of Ensign Jensen. He was like, this has probably already been done. I don't know. I don't get it. So I don't know what the mo is for. Maybe it's like because I say mo instead of moam or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. But it was less obvious than you thought it was, Ensign Jensen. And we appreciate you, man. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I see seas of me. Lots of red guns too. Bad Facebook takes from white and blue. And I think to myself, what the fuck?
Nice. Shout out to Lockeroni on Discord. I just like the just breaks that down. Setup. Yeah. And I think to myself, what the fuck?
That was the original version of that song.
Yeah, they're like, Louis, man, we might have to change that Satchmo.
Yeah, we will get to it. But what the fuck indeed. Well, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny TV writer, comedian, filmmaker, artist, and creator of the viral webcomic Bad Comics by Anna, Currently a writer on the Apple comedy series Loot, her half-hour comedy pilot Inside Cunt about a vagina that starts transmitting spy signals was named to the 2020 Latinx TV blacklist. Please welcome the hilarious, the talented Ana Salinas!
Hi, guys!
What's welcome, up?
I feel welcome. Like I... Thank you. I'm not on the show Loot anymore. That writer's remanded. I'm on another show. I feel like if my coworkers hear this, they'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, hit us with a new show.
It's the Big Mouth spinoff.
Oh, so dope. Like,
yes. It's been announced, so it's not like secret.
That's the black one, right?
I mean, it's about the monsters.
Oh, wait. What's... I'm confusing many different Deadline articles.
There is a storyline on Big Mouth where they follow Missy and stuff.
Mm-mm-mm.
No, the show is called Human Resources, and it follows like the hormone monsters and the anxiety mosquito and love bugs and
Damn.
That kind of stuff.
Oh, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's like perfect. Did you pitch that?
Are you running this room?
It was so crazy. I mean, they definitely saw my comic, and I was like, in the meeting, I was just like, yeah, I mean, that is what my comic is. And right. It's interesting to see all the ideas I ever had about my comic explored in this show. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah.
That's dope.
I'll figure out something else.
Are you, I'm imagining you're excited because this seems like such a great creative fit for someone who regularly like will anthropomorphize or, you know, manifest physical or emotions into characters.
I am. It's really fun. We're actually recording my episode right now, so it's great. I love it. And yeah, animation is so fun because you get to like immediately move into production, so
right.
You get to be a part of it a little more.
Well, how's the turnaround for a show like that? Because like, you know, like for people who I know like work on like the like Fox animated shows, they're like, oh yeah, it'll premiere in 14 months.
Yeah, this comes out in a billion years. So yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how much I can say because it's not sure, that much sure. has been announced, but it comes out in like 2 years. What I am writing comes out in
sure,
2 years.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay.
Well, yeah. The episodes of The Simpsons they're releasing this season were written in the late 90s.
Which
I was surprised to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the process.
The predictions were spot on.
Yeah.
Were they?
They predicted COVID.
Yeah.
All right, Ana, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to look at inflation, which is becoming a big buzzword, and talk about like why it's happening. Because I think generally people who aren't, you know, CEOs and financial analysts who have done time on Wall Street firms tend to shy away from this because they think it's their fault for earning too much money, which is what the corporate people tell us, or they feel like, it's too complex. And it's really not that complicated. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the rapid test quagmire, because, you know, a lot of people are looking to be able to test themselves, test relatives heading into Thanksgiving. And that is not possible in these United States, which might be news to people in other countries. Since France, Germany, Belgium, Great Britain, you can just order a free test. So we'll talk about all of that plenty more. But first, Ana, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, so the last two things I searched for were Randall Park wife and Catherine the Great husband.
Ooh.
And
okay.
Some matchmaking going on.
Yeah,
some epic shipping going on.
Honestly, I was recording with Randall Park and very creepily was like, this is a good looking guy. He seems so nice. What a great guy. He probably has a girlfriend or a wife. Now, let me just check. I should just check. And I checked and he very much does and seems happily married.
There you go.
But you know, those things where it's like, why did I check? What was going to come of that?
Yeah.
I got to know.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because you definitely, that sounds like you're like, let me just see. So at the very least, he was a very charming guest, it seems like.
Oh my gosh, so charming. But I think in my head, I was like, well, you know, what if, But anyway.
Like, are we in love right now? Are we like, just say that in
an interview. Yeah, and I sit on the records muted with my camera off, so I'm invisible to him. I'm right. just like, maybe he senses me.
But he could sense the vibe, yeah.
Yeah,
for
he,
sure.
Yeah. He know.
God. And then I was looking up Catherine the Great Husband. I mean, this is less exciting, but have you guys been watching The Great?
No.
Mm-mm. The show on Hulu. It's so season I know about it, two yeah. just dropped. And uh-huh. I feel like everyone I talk to who's seen the show loves it and thinks it's so good. And I feel crazy because I don't think it's that good. I don't know what it is about Elle Fanning, but it feels like a bunch of white women just like celebrating themselves. I don't know. It feels so white feminist. Mm. And I feel bad saying that because I don't know. There's aspects of the show that are cool. And I'm sure talented people made it. But it's just so pop feminism. But anyway, mm. Nicholas Hoult is the best part. And I was like, how much of this is based on real life? Let me look it up. And spoiler alert, not a lot is based on real life.
Did did the actual husband look camera ready?
No, he was very not handsome. Oh. The actual husband was this like tiny little squirrely man who just looks like a goober, like a fucking goober. Right. And she apparently, when she took over his throne and forced him to abdicate, she like killed him right away. But there's all these rumors that she kept him prisoner. And it's like, of course the show is going to try to keep alive Nicholas Hoult. He's the best part of the show. So they lied.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know Nicholas Hoult was. Is he the little boy from About a Boy?
Yes, he is. And he grew up to be a charming, handsome man who probably also, is married to.
He's also the main dude, or the not the main dude, but like the best character in Mad Max Fury Road. This is the first time I have thought about Nicholas Hoult as a person, other than being like, damn, that dude's really doing it in Mad Max Fury Road. But yeah.
He's also Beast in X-Men, right?
And pretty That's handsome the one he is. Without a bunch of makeup on.
Yeah.
Pretty handsome dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
And is he married? Did you look that up?
I didn't. I'm sure. Like, I don't even need to. He's too good looking not to be. Right, that's kind of my take these days. I'm like, oh, if someone's a catch, they're taken.
Yeah. Or and if they're not, then you're like, okay, so what's going on here? Are they haunted?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, ah, something's wrong, which of course is me projecting on myself. Right. But you know what I mean?
You're like, well, something's wrong with me, and I'm single, so then what's their thing?
And I should stipulate, I'm not single. But I was single for a little bit. So that mentality is still kind of there of just like, you know, you want to check. You want to see people's status.
Look, I'm in a very committed relationship. And sometimes you got to do a quick heat check. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, am I just on fire right now? Let me see. And then you're like, nope, I'm not. But good to know.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, I think
Nicholas Hoult.
Anyone who's like going to act like this isn't the most universal thing, like when you Google anybody's name, like the very first thing that comes up is girlfriend, boyfriend, wife, husband.
Yeah, I've actually taken a lot of pleasure in following people I think are hot on TikTok and Instagram. Like I've really gotten into it. Now I get it. Like when I see someone really attractive on a TV show, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna follow them,
right?
And just like get their because it's. You know what I mean? I don't know why it took me so long to be this person who's like, I guess, a creep. But I started following porn stars on Twitter because it's like, why not? Yeah. You only live once.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing immoral about you. Just this is another person. They're artists. You say, what's your art about? Okay, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's beautiful and simple. And there's some sort of taboo around women doing it. But it's like, screw that.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah,
Nicholas Hoult space brings up Nicholas Hoult wife, Nicholas Hoult girlfriend, Nicholas Hoult height. So,
he's tall. He's a tall man.
6'2".
There you go.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, definitely not single if it's 6'2".
6'2", yeah. Because it's not the online dating red flag height of 5'10".
Exactly. Where it's like, you know they added on 4.
Randall Park space, first thing that pops up, Randall Park wife. Then Randall Park net worth. So they're like, okay, but maybe I
what's
could.
What's space?
No, if you do Randall Park and then put a space in it, it starts auto completing.
Right.
Shit.
I thought fewer people have.
I thought it got real heady for a second. It's like Randall Park space.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all in space when you think about it, Miles, just hurtling through the inky darkness on this blue marble that we call Earth. What is something you think is overrated, Anna?
This is a little dark because of what happened recently in the news, but I'm going to say it because I do think it's true. I think music festivals are very overrated. And I say that because I went to Outside Lands in San Francisco over Halloween. And there were all these amazing acts, you know, like The Strokes, Tyler, Glass Animals, Nelly was randomly there. Lizzo was the headliner. And on paper, that's really cool. It's like, yeah, I want to go see all those artists. But the shows suck. Because, and man, I feel like I figured out the scam and I'm pissed. So like Glass Animals goes on to perform at 6 p.m. And I'm like, this music is pretty soft. And everyone is watching Glass Animals because they're really popular right now.
Yeah.
So the whole, like all 50,000 people in this park or however many it is are crowded just to see fucking Glass Animals while some poor acoustic singer is on the other stage that no one cares about. And you couldn't hear. You couldn't hear the music. And that music is meant to like encircle you.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, Lizzo goes on at 8 p.m. and the music is blasting all through the park. So they have the capability to turn up this music so you don't have to squish yourself to the front. They could just turn it louder so people could fucking space out, but they don't. And that is a scam and I am not okay with it. And so because of that, I ended up not going to see a lot of these artists because I was like, I don't want to deal with the crowd and whatever. And I missed Nelly, which was maybe the whole point of going to see Nelly.
Oh, man. I guess they didn't hear a lot about him being in the news much recently. But hey,
oh, you know, yeah, that's
you always
it, you
have
know
find
what?
A lineup somewhere.
We let our nostalgia dictate.
Yeah. I'm curious, was there so in your mind, is this a conspiracy? Like you're saying, like they're turning Glass Animals down because maybe they're trying to help another. Like I'm trying to pull up the set time to see like who was playing when Glass Animals was playing. Because
it was like the organizer's daughter was on acoustic guitar.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like in the like circus tent. But like, yeah, because I really love Outside Lands actually as a festival. I was just talking about that because we had a guest who was just there. But it's I like it because of the music festivals. It's like the most space and the most bathrooms and the most like and more of like the things that like trouble me about a festival is like I got to hold my pee in for 9 hours because like the lines are too long and then you can't get a good spot. Whereas there you can be pretty like leisurely. But I'm sticking
You're
more to your point.
My
that,
point. Yeah, that I went to the best of the best. The most space, the most bathrooms. They had a whole weed space where you go and buy weed and
weed
smoke
lands.
It there. Yeah. And still, it fucking sucked.
Oh.
And I was so tired and I tried so hard and everyone was so drunk and college age and I have never in my life felt older.
Right.
But let me tell you something. Look, it may be a scam, but I cracked the code. So they had this like club in a tent and the line was like 3 hours long. It was that's another thing. What? You're gonna spend 3 hours at a music festival in a fucking line? Give me a break. But so I was like, I'm never getting into that. But I went during Nelly and it was the only time that tent was empty and you could go right in. So that was the price to get into that stupid
it's wild.
EDM tent.
Everybody who was playing, man, fuck, that was a lineup on that day. Krungbin went on before Glass Animals, and then Catronata was after Glass Animals.
Yeah.
And then that led into Tyler, or you could have caught Sango at the house by... Wow. I'm trying to find
a
conspiracy here,
artists.
But it's a lot of heavy hitters. So.
But it's Anna, too much. It's
Anna,
too
you
much.
Should know that Miles is sponsored by Outside Lands. So this
man,
is,
it's crazy.
This is the response you're going to get anytime you
like
and I hope you got that VIP ticket because actually the savings in time alone make it worth the extra $400. Now, you know, I'm just a fan, but shout out to Ranger Dave.
I think that's absolutely true about music festivals based on my experience of going to Coachella once mm-hmm. was that it was just like a total crapshoot, and probably the most disappointing live music experience I've ever had was seeing Outkast live for the first time, their first like reunion mm-hmm. show on that
run. 2014?
Yeah.
I was there.
You were there first week or second week?
Second week, because my strategy is always to buy second week tickets because everyone wants the first week tickets when I used to go. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. first week, the sound was all fucked up for the Outkast show. Like you really, ugh. And then like, I think Andre started getting sort of assuming that the audience just wasn't into them. And like, so he started like kind of yelling at the audience, but it was just the sound fucking sucked. It was so bad, like for their show. They just hadn't like dialed it in. And
it's really tough. It's a tough thing for an artist, because unless you're the headliner and they blast that music and have it all figured out right. for your set, plus you get the setup on stage, like Tyler was in a fucking boat on stage. That was really cool. But unless you have that, it is a lot of space to fill up with your like presence. And 070 Shake, who I love, went up, and or I guess she goes by 070 Shake, which I didn't know until I saw that show, but put on a great show. But it's like this big ass stage, and it was at the very beginning of the festival, day one, so not a lot of people were there. And she did the same thing where she was kind of yelling at the audience, like, come on, be excited.
Yeah. Right.
And you just saw everyone just like not into it. And I was like, fuck this place. I'm going to go smoke some weed in grasslands.
There you go. Maybe they'll turn the volume up.
I know.
Yeah. Same stage, Kid Cudi, like at like... one in the afternoon was fucking incredible. It was a total crapshoot, you know. They just like knew.
It is.
And also he was out of his mind on, I think, the same drugs that the audience was on. So it worked out pretty well.
That's perfect.
The scam, I think, I think what's tough, the benefit is like, I like the idea of like spending an entire, like multiple days seeing mm-hmm. just great live music. But I think that's where things get a little muddied, where like you run into the things that, you know, like would plague any sort of profit driven operation, which is like they spent more money and like made it very comfortable for everyone. It would be such a great experience. But like really, it feels like the guiding principle for a music festival is how many fucking sweaty kids can we cram into this parking lot?
Yeah.
Right.
And still pay the artists what they need and still for us make the money that we need to make as the organizers.
Yes. But, and that kind of leads into the Astroworld thing, where it's like that was just too many people with too few strategies for how to control just that many people in one place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or none at all. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and hear your underrated.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And Anna, you know, we do like to ask our guests to balance out the overrated. What is something you think is underrated?
Well, there's no way to sound cool about this, but there have been some great period dramas coming to television recently. Okay. I did talk about The Great, which is technically a period comedy, and I don't put it on this list. The Great is something else, you know, whatever. I did watch it. But I really liked this show on Amazon called Pursuit of Love with, I want to say Lily James. I always confuse the Lilies. But it's a beautiful period drama. This other one, Howard's End, was on Stars, just came to Amazon. And I think period dramas get a bad rep for being like, for old people or boring, but they're beautiful.
Wait, Howard's End, that was like a film, right? They made that a series?
They did.
I mean, I know it's a novel, but I mean, like, yes,
they made it a series, and it's Tom from Succession, isn't it?
What?
I know. Yeah.
It's hard for me to see him, like, just doing roles where he's speaking with his, like, normal voice in a British accent.
Oh, and I know.
I can only imagine... having all that Tom stuff rattling through my head and trying to see him be like, is he like Paul Wilcox in Howard's End or something?
You know, yes, he was. And it works because he plays a snob in that too. And he has that snobby energy because he was in Pride and Prejudice too as Mr. Darcy. So he just plays like snob.
Right.
Like flawed snob very well.
Okay.
That was supposed to... like when that Pride and Prejudice came out, like it was a big deal, and like it was supposed to, people were like, he's the next big thing, and then it didn't really like blow up that way. His career didn't blow up that way. And then now, like, just by being a British person who can see all the things that are wrong with America and like channel them as a business person on Succession and another indie movie last year that I have now twice blanked on the name of. I think it's The Intern.
The Assistant.
The Assistant.
Yeah, he was great. Again, played kind of a snob in that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Dope.
Wait, so I'm sorry. What's Pursuit of Love? What's that about?
I think it's based on a book, but it is this series, and it's what's his name from The Affair, who had an affair on that show in real life, too.
Mm.
Well, now I'm blanking on his name, but he's the male lead of The Affair.
Right.
Andrew Scott?
I don't know.
No, from The Wire.
Yes.
Oh, Dominic West.
Oh, my God, duh. Dominic West. How can I forget The Wire? Yes.
Yeah.
So he is in it, and it's just this very sweet, weirdly sex positive for a period drama show, but it's not like soapy. It's just like really earnest, and that shit made me fucking weep like a baby at the end. Yeah, and no one is talking about it. And I'm like, that was a great show. We just gonna ignore it?
Because we have too many shows out. Like, it's wild when you said that. I'm like, when you said these period dramas that are out, I was like, well, I think I've heard of what's out there. And I was just like, I have not heard of both of those. So
no, if I come at you with an underrated show, I'm going to give you an underrated show.
100%.
Which period are we talking about? Like, what part of history are we?
It is World War One, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
Between the old wars, it looks like.
Classic.
Yeah, that is. And I don't, Howard's End is late 1800s, maybe the same, or maybe it was World, I don't know.
Got it.
Maybe, I don't know. I get a little confused. You know, there's a time where all the clothes look the same for a little while.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like, look,
exactly.
They're wearing derby hats.
Like, we already got these.
Yeah, you got
so
the big skirts.
Run with it.
Yeah,
exactly. They got that big underskirt that they wear to make the skirt bigger underneath
with the
skirt.
Wires.
Yeah,
and
that's
hoops.
Like World War One or something. Or Victorian. I don't know.
Around there. They got cars around there.
Right.
Pursuit of Love does sound like a Netflix dating reality show.
Yeah,
I think that
it does.
Oh my god,
I might have heard somebody talk about that and been like, "Oh, another Netflix dating show that I
right
about,
Love is Blind." Turn my brain from off the creators for. Of that,
right? Exactly.
Childless, loveless millennials on the brink of their 40s.
There you go.
Yeah,
the pursuit of love.
Oh god, that's depressing.
Well, speaking about depressing, let's talk about inflation.
Uh oh.
Mm.
So. It's the buzzword of the season. It's been used to explain everything from the labor shortage to why turkeys are more expensive this year. And yeah, it's just a convenient. I mean, it's happening. First of all, it is happening. Things are getting more expensive. So the explanation that we're getting, though, is that it is all because of the labor class being paid more.
Yeah, that's one. If you follow Stephanie Ruhle, or if you're watching Tucker Carlson, it's just to be like, Joe Biden is trying to make you poor. Mm-hmm. At the other part of it, corporations are also kind of loving it too, but on a much more subtle level, because they're loving it because they're using this to actually just raise prices on people because they can't, because they see people are paying for it very cynically. Nothing to do with stressed supply chains. They're just like, yo, let's see if we can squeeze out a couple percentage points. Because this is a very interesting statistic that was in the Wall Street Journal. Nearly 2 out of 3 of the biggest U.S. publicly traded companies had larger profit margins this year than they did in 2019. Okay. And that means nearly 100 of these massive corporations report profits in 2021 that are 50% above profit margins from 2019 pre-pandemic.
Jesus Christ.
So they're making money right now. And a lot of it is being revealed in this article in the New Republic. You know, people were sitting in on shareholder calls just to be like, I wonder how this is being messaged to the people that own the stock of some of these companies. And what they're hearing is things like, it's from this article, quote, in these calls, business leaders employ fancy financial lingo to tell large shareholders how they are engaging in, quote, pricing improvements and, quote, successful pricing strategies. They tell you they are experiencing customer, quote, elasticities to price increases at historically low levels. When you decode what they're saying, it's nothing less than a euphoric articulation that they're able to pass off price increases to consumers. Full stop. And there's like, on one hand, you'll have places like, and the stock prices are going up because of this. They're like loving. They're like, oh my God, wait, what? And you're making more profits? This is fantastic. You look at a company like Target who had come out and said, you know, we're actually not going to be raising prices. Like, we're able to kind of maintain what we have and have like a healthy financial outlook by not raising prices. And shareholders started dumping their stock and sending the stock price down. So people were like, well, I don't want to be on board with some company that's not going to raise their prices to make more money. Are you fucking dumb?
That's so sad.
Yeah.
So depressing.
And, you know, there's even on CNBC, Jim Cramer was talking about how like Home Depot and Lowe's, they're raising prices because they don't give a fuck. And also they're literally in a mentality of who gonna stop me, boo? Like, who gonna check me? Because the two of us run the whole shit. This is from Jim Cramer talking about how these two companies, Lowe's and Home Depot, can, quote, do no wrong because they're passing on rising costs to the public, and the public has no choice because these two chains have single-handedly wiped out the competition already.
So is what we're seeing, like, the, you know, the pandemic caused the government to send out aid to people who had lost their jobs. More people had more like government assistance than they'd had in a long time. Is that where the quote unquote elasticity comes from? And like the government aid, those payments that were supposed to like help people get through a rainy day, like, are just immediately getting like hoovered up by Walmart and like all those corporations. Like,
yeah. I mean, potentially, but you did have a lot of Benny's, you know, benefits run out and for certain people all over the country starting months ago. So even now, like, just even when we talked about that one dumb CNN piece where they're like, my milk's $90 a gallon now, and it wasn't. But I think they really like this idea that prices, it's just like, that's the thing about this. There's a lot of nebulous data that is able to be sort of harnessed for the aims of, at this point, corporations. Because I think at the end of the day, more than like, obviously the wealth extraction from consumers is a huge thing for them. But more importantly, this is feeding this narrative about what it means with Biden in office and what he aims to do with some of these infrastructure, like with Build Back Better. A lot of that, like the financing from that, is to be like, yeah, we just got to charge corporations like their fair share in taxes. That's how we pay for a lot of this shit. So this is helping them create a little more instability and uncertainty in consumers by raising their prices. So they make more money while also saying, hey, man, if Joe Biden is going to start passing all these other laws, inflation is going to be even wilder. Hold on to your whole butt and paycheck. And so that's also their aim at sort of being like, now we can kind of stoke an anti-infrastructure movement that will protect our tax rates.
Yeah.
Right. It's like inflation has always been politicized because it's what they were saying before the stimulus passed. That first stimulus, like, oh, we can't pass a stimulus package because it will spike inflation. And that's bad. And then all these economists were like, no, it's not really like that. Like, you're overblowing this risk.
Right.
Wow.
But I think that's where you see like sort of like the vested interests when we have debates like this of like, do we help people or do we raise corporate taxes? And there are many people who are just on the human ground level who are like, yes, please. That sounds great. Unfortunately, the messaging and the access to all the levers of like mainstream communication have vested interests in the same way. Be like, we're not paying more fucking taxes. Are you fucking kidding me? We're just going to talk about this inflation and start banging that drum and look the other way.
Yeah. There's also, just with regards to the supply chain, an explanation I actually heard on the It Could Happen Here Daily Show. They interviewed somebody who works at a like soda manufacturing plant and has like worked in various manufacturing jobs like over the past 4 or 5 years. They were talking about how the big change that's happened is that corporations have now embraced this thing called just-in-time production, which means that you don't start producing something until there's a demand for it. And like, you don't, it's like, there's no, you're not like storing anything. There's no overhead. It's just like, oh, okay, so they ran out of this and we're hearing they need more. Now we produce it. And like, that basically creates, it's cheaper for the companies. It gives them better margins because there's no overhead. And there's no like producing something that then doesn't get sold.
Right.
The problem is that there's no like elasticity in the supply chain. So like, you don't have extras if suddenly there's a bunch of, you know, this person worked as a casket manufacturer in the past. So if there's suddenly a need for caskets, suddenly the way that they deal with that is they just worked people inhumanely around the clock until like they can get that supply met. It's once again just the values of the market, of quarterly earnings calls, of CEOs who have just extracted the humanity from the workers and from the laborers and turned it into just, you know, values on a spreadsheet. And, you know, that is what economics is. That's what the modern version of capitalism is. And like, market logic is just like, remove the humanity, think of everything as like,
just look at the numbers. Are the numbers good?
Yeah So that's not great, but again, it's just the overall system. It's the same overall system that we were talking about with regards to the inflation,
right? And I mean, at a certain point, you know, like, you're slowly seeing more and more people take up for themselves and organize themselves to create better outcomes for them, themselves, yet again, to use that word, you know, as it relates to their employment and what benefits they get. And I can only see, I don't think just-in-time production habits are going to necessarily extinguish those flames. I feel like it's, I'm curious what they're looking at too. Like, because at this point, all the forecasting that happens, whether it's like risk they're worth taking because they'll say like, well, this thing's faulty and we might get sued, but we can afford it as long as we make enough money up front. Like what kind of stuff they're already looking at in terms of what the unrest will be like with their employees and how to navigate that and see like, well, we could scab it up for this time, just skate through Q4 and then call in the Pinkertons.
Well, the really insidious thing that he was talking about is that by making it such a like flexible system where you need to like move around and like, okay, I'm going to put this person on this job, it actually makes, like he was saying, that he's in a union shop, but the people who are in a non-union shop actually were in slightly better working conditions as of this moment because they had flexibility. But that's all because of the inhumane orders coming down. Like they're better able to deal with the inhumane orders coming down. So it's like the just-in-time production is creating a system where like it makes it harder for people who are unionized, which is fucking bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, that's it does feel like that's the trend, though. Like, I don't like it's harder to be unionized working for a corporation like Amazon. And I feel like Walmart was maybe the writing on the wall where it was like Walmart was union busting and people were trying to stop Walmarts from being built in their town. Now it's like, fuck it. We don't need stores in our towns. We can just have Amazon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is I mean, we're living in a very historic time, especially as, like even more than ever. I can't I just look at things and I'm like, how do these people with all, like who have all the capital really think that at a certain point, like that you can just run someone down to the point where they're like, okay, I'll just die on the factory floor.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and it does happen places, absolutely.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, enough people are going to it's always fascinating to see how disconnected those people can be from like what the actual reality is of the situation they're in.
It's fascinating, but the show Succession exists for a reason and it's beautiful, well-written TV. But I mean, it's like, you don't have exposure. That's our stratified society where you don't have exposure to the working class if you're in that corporate class.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the poorest person you know is what? Greg?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you find his problems amusing, right?
Right, right, right. And you laugh about it.
And he's only poor because his grandpa doesn't want to give him his inheritance.
Right.
Yeah, one of the things that I've just been like, I'm continuing to think over is I'm reading that book Debt by David Graeber, which is the history of, it's basically a new history of economic systems like throughout human history. Prior to this, most of my understanding of like how economics works was based on economists, you know, like people who study economics and like subscribe to the Adam Smith idea that like, well, everybody is a financial actor who is like acting in their own self-interest. And this book argues that like that is actually like that ideal of humans just acting in self-interest being like the most basic thing was like introduced by Hobbes and Leviathan, was seen as like super cynical at the time that it was introduced and like not an accurate description of humanity because we existed in like small communities that helped each other out. But within like 100 years, it was the default like assumption because it is so profitable. It's so, it's so helpful to people to make money and it's going to be assumed and it like makes a sort of shrewd logic or a sort of shrewd sense. And it like feels like the sort of thing that's like tough and like realist, but it's actually not how humanity has been for the vast, vast majority of our history as a species. For the majority of our history as a species, we've been, you know, that the idea that you would just extract as much value from humans as you possibly can is rightly seen as like,
it's colonizing. It's the, it's the foundation of colonizing.
Yeah. Oh, here's this group. I can push them around. Watch this. Yeah. Now they're making me money. Mm-hmm. Great. Move on. to the next town of weaklings, right. And I'll rinse and repeat.
And to dehumanize in the process.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. What an eventful break we just had. So producer Justin pitched us his predatory investing firm just in time. That's all I'll say. I won't tell you all his blueprint, but apparently when your name is Justin, you hear that pun a lot.
Yeah. And I didn't think of
it. Yeah. Hey, look who it is. And just in time.
There was a Stanford student who created like a streaming web video called Just in Time. And I remember that's where I used to watch a ton of pirated sports. So,
okay. Oh, wow.
It's definitely a well-treaded name. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also the spec script for a sequel to Nick of Time that I've written. Have you guys seen Nick of Time?
That's the one with Johnny Depp.
Christopher Walken in his most over the top Christopher Walken.
Oh, he's got to like murk the senator or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have not seen that.
To get his kid back or something?
Yeah. It's like my friends in college, the most quoted movie, like back and forth between us.
Wait, quoting Nick of Time?
Constantly.
That sounds like you guys were fun to hang out with at a bar.
Or not.
For that person at the table who had not seen that movie.
Who's that group of dudes that are just like by themselves doing inside jokes the whole time? They're the hottest guys at this bar.
That's us. Also, so Miles, you were saying you got funny jokes about your name being Miles.
It's just kilometers. It's just like metric shit. It's yeah. like, or you some
metric system jokes
feet.
Are fucking hilarious. I have to say,
right?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, they are exactly, and they're really effective because they're effective at demonstrating you don't know shit about being funny.
Damn! Did someone go, Miles? Are you inches? And then you were like,
yeah,
that's no, it.
Like as a
I don't
kid,
like
I,
it.
Did I remember like in like third grade? There was like a there were like. Like witty teachers would begin to like do stuff
yeah.
like that. I'm like, I don't even know, dude. Please
yeah.
just go on with the lesson about how if I don't know how, if I can't recite this Bible verse, I'm going to get an F.
Yeah. Fortunately, yeah. as a child named Jack at a time when not many children were named Jack, I never got anything about jacking off or
what?
Helping my
You're,
uncle jack
crazy.
Off. Or,
Did you ever experience fifth grade?
Yeah. No, I'm joking. It was all anybody
okay,
said to
good.
Me. Yeah.
Good, because even I mean, they got creative with my name. They skipped my first name and went straight to my second name, my last name, and said Salinas. Salinas, my penis. And I was like, that
oh
doesn't even
God.
Rhyme. But you know, it was brutal out there.
They couldn't even hit you with like a Selena type joke.
Yeah,
you'd think, but I didn't get those jokes until I turned like 26, and someone was like. Anything for Selena.
Oh, yeah, right. I wonder, yeah, maybe that's like a, since you're a little bit younger, because we were all in on anything Selena, but I feel like
I
that wave took a second to come back around again.
I mean, I was watching the J-Lo movie
right.
on whatever, like VH1, when it would play every day,
yeah.
mm. but no one got there until later in my life. And now I get it every few days. Every few days, someone's like, Selena's. Anything for Selena's. And I'm like, I don't know.
Please, anything else with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of our childhoods, many are returning to childhood homes, to our families from our childhood, because Thanksgiving is coming up. Just a reminder. But also, the Thanksgiving season is highlighting that America does not have enough rapid COVID tests. That's the most sought after kind of Thanksgiving item this year, aside from all the liquor we need to deal with that is. Things were already, these were already hard to find, and now they're basically a Tickle Me Elmo in 1996 levels, hard to find.
Yeah. What the fuck? Someone was like bigging themselves up on Instagram. They're like, fuck, I got the last two of blah, blah, blah. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it's really, it's like that now.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense. We're going to see elderly relatives
yeah.
or they're coming to see us. You want to get tested. They cost between $14 and $50 and often limited to just one per customer.
Just tell that to my friend on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He's got
yeah.
to
yeah.
back with three
two.
Wigs on. Yeah.
But yeah. And then because there's a, as with like the sneaker market, because people can't find them in the store, they're being listed for crazy amounts by third-party sellers on sites like Amazon. You guys heard about that? Which is just, you know, inexcusable. Also, like, it does seem like the very most basic thing, like, okay, you guys claim this, like, market will solve all problems. Mm-hmm. So, like,
where
solve
at?
It. Here, yeah, get at us. And it's just not happening.
When it's such a basic thing, too, right? It's like, do
yeah.
you want to give the population the ability to know if they have COVID? Like,
yeah,
at the that's a I think that's a fundamental first step people need to take in their decision making with anything. And to be like, oh, yeah, we kind of dropped the ball on this. Like, well, then this whole thing's a mistake.
If I was president, I would send every single person a COVID test. Just like, didn't they send us all like some masks, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they all
yeah.
send us a mask? I would do that. Everyone would get a COVID test right before the holidays. And it would be so easy. If everyone
Selena's,
had access to that.
Yeah.
Selena's 2024. I'm there.
I know. And I say
I mean,
that as someone who just flew through LAX and it is the most crowded. Maskless. Yeah. I was just kissing people left and right.
Gotcha.
I had my dog. I was kissing her. She was kissing people.
Yeah. I was nice. Sampling people's drinks on the flight just to make sure
yeah.
they tasted good.
And then spitting them back out so they could
yeah.
drink them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, that's a like that's a nice thought, but like that what is this 2050? Like it's not you're not going to be able to send everybody a free rapid test delivered to their homes unless you're in Britain right now, which is what they're doing. People can get a free rapid test delivered to their homes. In many parts of Europe, the tests are plentiful and cheap. So what the fuck happened in the U.S.?
Yeah.
So the U.S. policy was mostly focused on vaccination because we love a, you know, a big last minute save, a big like, you know, solution that's going to wipe out the problem. And other countries focused more on screening. But meanwhile, the FDA's approval process of these tests moved painfully slow. There are only 12 approved tests, even though the FDA received more than 4,500 emergency use authorizations and related requests for COVID tests.
Yeah.
That's way behind other countries. They have 39 rapid self-administered antigen tests authorized in the EU. But I also want to just kind of put a note in here because I do feel like, well, the FDA sucks at their job. Brief note of explanation for the fiscal year 2021, defense budget was $753.5 billion at a time with no major war, just major wars were trying to wind down, I guess. During an unprecedented global pandemic, the FDA's budget is $5.9 billion, nearly half of which is from user fees, which is the companies that they're supposed to be regulating paying them to.
Wow, they're like, oh, you need, you to need do this approved? Job. All right, come up with those fees real quick because we won't exist without them, please.
Right. So,
damn.
Yeah. And, you know, critics argue that the high standards that the FDA is putting in place are at odds with public health demands, which is true, but it's probably, you know, they have corporate donors like everything in America. They have
they want
donors.
Our tests to be too accurate in a pandemic. This is bullshit. It should be like one in like five times it's right. That's like good enough, dude. Then you can buy five fucking tests and I'll make more money.
But that is... Yeah. That I guess that's kind of the logic, and I kind of agree with it, that like they are being too withholding and too slow on like people are like, if you just had enough tests, then like some tests that are, you know, 90% accurate are better than no tests that are zero, you know.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
But God, at the very least, why aren't we have to like. It's like at every turn, we just ignore like the wisdom gained by other countries and how they've battled the pandemic. Like, you know, like with, especially when you watch that pandemic documentary that came out last year, that was like on Hulu. I think like everything under control or whatever. And they talked to like the Korean epidemiologist who was like in charge of like South Korea's response. And he like was living with the pain that like something like less than 40 people died and during like a previous outbreak. And he was like, I didn't fuck around this time. And like testing, like the testing regime became a huge factor in at least understanding what was going on. Whereas here, it's just like the vibe strategy of just like, I don't know if like, do you feel like you have it? If not, then like, don't come. Like for sure.
Yeah. And like, don't test if you don't want to ruin your plans, you know? Like,
that's shit I hear right now of like, well, I don't know, dude. If I test positive, then I can't go to this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then what are you doing? Then fucking don't do anything to ensure your safety. Don't just do the thing because you're like, well, I don't want to be verified that I'm now a contagion.
Right.
It's, yeah.
There's a lot of interest. It sets off a lot of weird stuff, too, I think, because we don't know our own status half the time because testing isn't that easy.
How was I allowed to fly across the country on one of the busiest days of flying without having to show any proof of a test or vaccine? Like, what? I have to show proof of vaccine to get into my movie theater and I don't have to show it to travel across the country.
Yeah. That's where we see that tension between the state and the feds.
Oh my God. Yeah. No,
I went to a Chinese restaurant and I got my shit checked up like right away and I forgot we were in that new phase in LA where it's like, no, you gotta
and they asked to see your ID too. They're not fucking around. Yeah.
And I was like, damn. And then like this one dude, I remember another customer, they like their name was like a shortened version of their full name. And they're like, is this you? And they're like, it's yes. And they're like,
yeah.
All right.
I love it. I fucking love it. Yeah. Be strict. like check the name really good.
They were like calling his name from over his left shoulder to see if he turned around.
Mike, hey Mike,
didn't check.
Yeah, bring it on.
But yeah, I mean, it makes sense as like just generally a part of this broad American value of like, you know, finding out that you're COVID positive, bad look.
Right.
You know, a lot of not like people testing positive for COVID, bad look for the government. So, but like getting vaccine, it's almost like America as a corporation is like trying to pass our quarterly earnings reports, like with, you know, the with voters and the world. And we're just like, all right, so let's just
put those in Q1, shift those
nail
in
this
Q1.
Vaccine and it'll all be done. But like, we're finding that the vaccine is an ongoing process that we need to like keep getting them and that there's going to be ongoing outbreaks. And it sucks that America is always going to be lagging behind because of this just half-assed system that doesn't give a shit about the humans in the country.
The thing I don't understand is like, even when Trump was president and Biden too, they had these big things where they're like, I'm with the people of Walmart and Target and we're teaming up to fuck COVID straight up. This going to be out of here because we're going to make sure they can get tests, whatever you need. And I'm like, right, I remember that was said, but now we're talking about a situation where it's like, I don't know. You can knife fight over a fucking at-home kit at a Walgreens now.
So in September, the White House announced its bold plan to make testing more available to the masses, proclaiming that Walmart, Amazon, and Kroger would sell COVID-19 tests at cost for the following 3 months. So for three whole months of not being screwed by some of the largest corporations on Earth.
Until the pandemic ends, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be done in 3 months.
And also for most of the first 2 months, the tests were sold out in stores and were sold at heightened prices by third party sellers on sites like, Amazon and Walmart. So,
oh my God.
Just self-owned because people can like use their e-commerce infrastructure.
Yeah. Or not self-owned or like that's how it was supposed to work all along.
Oh, right. Mm.
Yeah. The FDA process. You know, it's not just that the FDA has high standards. There have been reports that their approval process is arbitrary and opaque. One company submitted a rapid test to the FDA in February and didn't hear back until June, at which point the FDA sent them a list of questions with a deadline of 48 hours to respond. They didn't make the deadline and the application was, quote, sent to the back of the line, which sounds a lot like, you know, any like wildly underfunded government bureaucracy, any sort of, you know, if you want to get any sort of government aid, you have to like basically become a bureaucrat and like make it your full-time job to get the help that you already need, even when not working a full-time job as a fucking government bureaucrat. And this sounds like the same thing. They don't have enough people. They don't have enough money going into this massive fucking global catastrophe. And so, everyone in the government is shitty.
Huh. All right. That was eye-opening.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, you know, and also I'm selling bootleg tests. Hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They only tell you what you want to know. It's their...
Yeah, I'm like, what are you... Are you trying to get out of this thing or are you trying to go?
Right.
Oh, are you trying to go? Are you good? You negative.
Their pregnancy test, you just stick in your mouth. And so either one you get is good.
They're like, yo, Miles, you having me spit on a fucking
comes with your
test.
Very own COVID mood ring. That
Except if it's purple, it's unclear which it is.
That I feel like we're not far off from that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I mean, well, you already see
the new Apple Watch is going to figure it out.
Just bathe in this Borax.
Yeah. I think Apple Watches and Aura Rings were like helpful in determining because heightened heart rate was a symptom of COVID.
Whoa.
So they actually were a diagnostic tool.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
My bad, Tim Cook.
Yeah.
That's on me, Tim. That's on me.
But, you know, just one last point of comparison. Other countries not only approved more tests, they also contracted companies in order to provide millions of them free of charge to individuals. And that's just not something that the U.S. has done until now that they're getting pushback in the Biden administration. The company that is like the main provider of these tests, Abbott, So this is a good example of the, you know, need-based just-in-time production model. So when COVID cases in the U.S. dipped in the springtime of 2021, this company literally threw out a bunch of their products, stuffing them in garbage bags, and then they laid off 2,000 people because, according to one of their managers, numbers are going down. This is all about money. That's a direct quote. When cases surged not long afterwards, the company was scrambling to hire back hundreds of workers.
The company was going through trash.
Yeah.
To dig up those tests.
Oh, my God.
So the market is logical, and it answers all the problems in a timely manner.
Self-regulating. And
well done. Yes.
But yeah, then, and we're still begging to any regular person who'd turn on the TV if the media would even have a reckoning with this kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
The story would be like, this is scandalous how greed is running roughshod through the country and creating completely. But again, like, I already sound like someone who would be laughed off of a CNN segment.
Right.
Yeah.
Which just shows you how well people are conditioned to even hearing things of like very logical, like impassioned pleas to like be like not immoral. Just sounds like you got Birkenstocks growing off your hands or something.
Look, people make fun of Greta Thunberg, but all she's doing is being like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Yeah. No, it's climate, but still, like, it's just an impassioned plea to not ruin
our
planet.
Okay, child. You're like, I don't know if you heard what she said. The clock is fucking ticking. And in that building, they're just circle jerking, laughing it up because they're not going to be around to see the worst of it. Like, okay. She's so fiery.
Mm.
Like,
you
all are
right. Nice. Turn her into a meme. Anna, it's been such a pleasure, as always, having
such
you.
Such a pleasure.
Truly a pleasure. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at badcomics with an X by Anna with two N's. And the show I'm working on now won't be out for a while, but I wrote on a show called Flatbush Misdemeanors on Showtime, and you can watch that now. It came out a little bit ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I was like two shows behind in my intro.
No, just one. That show just happens to be out right now.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So you could go see episode 7. That's the one I wrote.
Hey. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, don't just watch. You should watch them in order or it won't make sense.
Nah. Just
my parents only watched the one I wrote. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, my favorite.
It was okay, but it was a little confusing. Like, you should have told us the plot for the whole show.
Giving you some setup. Yeah. If you have an hour, I'll go through it.
It's a series. You understand how it fit in there. So, but no, I want to see the one you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah. You know, gosh, I don't remember the handle, but I'm going to find it. There's an Instagram that puts cat faces on different animals. And in a dark world, it has been bringing me a lot of simple joy. Like, I was literally looking at it on the plane and I laughed out loud. And that's so stupid. Like, I'm getting so old that I'm laughing at cat faces on giraffes. But it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Oh, I like that, too.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Cat faces on giraffes?
Every animal is better with a cat face, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's definitely worth that just quick thought experiment. You're like,
yeah.
That does work.
Okay. It's she's Russian, I guess, so it's hard to pronounce. It's Koty Vetz. It's spelled KOTY VEZD as in dog E.
There it is. All right. Okay. Check it out.
Yeah. And it's just cat faces on other animals. That's it.
I love that.
That's the whole thing.
It's the simplest thing sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also the other show, 420 Day Fiance, where Sophia Alexander and I talk about 90 Day Fiance off of that herb. You feel me? Some tweets that I like. This one is from at Joshua Potash, whose display name is Read Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire. Fantastic. And in this one, it's just a picture. It's like he says, God, this is bleak. And it's a photo of apparently an ad that is on outside of a Burger King. And it's a bunch of like old senior citizens. And it says, who says you have to retire? At Burger King, we welcome your experience in leadership. My God. If you're energetic, friendly, and service-oriented, we have a full or part-time position on our team. And
I hate that.
Burger King is so cool. They're just like so cool. They sound fun.
I mean, like, and this, like, it's funny though too, because this group of elderly people, it looks like what I remember when I was like applying to colleges, what college brochures used to look like. Right. Like, you'll get the most diverse motherfuckers at this school on the front of this motherfucking booklet. Yeah. And it's like a Benetton ad, but for people that wear adult diapers. So shout out to them. Look, I'm not mad at them, but oh no, the tweet I like got taken down. So okay, this the other tweet I like is from @_incandescent. And she tweeted, "What I love about Gen Z is they'll take an L and immediately post a TikTok about it. It's very good for my love of mess." And damn, this tweet that was there. They linked to a TikTok video that Twitter, I guess they got the video down. But it was this girl sitting outside of in an apartment hallway with like her luggage next to her. And she goes, like, "My stupid ass went to go visit this guy." And he's like, "And a woman answered the door and just beat the shit out of me. Now I'm stranded." But she was like, someone was filming her and she like had like a track going on. And it was very like making a TikTok out of your like terrible mistake. And I was like, this is so real. But yeah, credit to that. What I love about Gen Z is they'll take an L and immediately post a TikTok about it.
It's so true. There's so many crying TikToks of people just being like, these are my tears. This is what happened.
And you're like, great. Shit, okay. I'm like, for me, someone who my gut reaction to people crying in public is to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It helps me soften, you know, my terrible habits around expressing myself.
You can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. Go look at Anna's recommendation, please. The cat.
It's great.
Photoshops,
right?
Are so fucking great. Yeehaw Meg tweeted, "Pete Davidson, Travis Barker, Machine Gun Kelly, or the manic pixie dream girl of men, the chaos goblin line cook." I thought that was pretty good. Wordsmithing. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, my goodness. So this is a remix of a Toki Monsta track. Shout out Toki Monsta. Get into it if you like good music, some beats and electronic, other or otherwise. But it's a remix by an artist named Imanu, Imanu. And it's a remix of the Toki Monsta track Love That Never. And this is just one of those tracks where it's pretty layered and very like electronic, but you want to listen to it with headphones, because like as somebody who likes to make music, I'm just really impressed with, you know, the synthesis that's going on there and just kind of the overall mix of it. So this is good headphone music, you know what I mean? Not necessarily blasted out of your thin phone speakers type music. So this is, again, Imanu's remix of Toki Monsta's track Love That Never.
All right, well, we will link off to that. Go check it out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.